Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Beverly Williams, the president and the founder of the American Association of Home-Based Businesses, the AAHBB. Beverly, it's definitely a distinct pleasure for me to have you back on the show, as it is every week. And Anne, are you there?
I am.
Let me tell you who this lady is, folks. Anne Sandroff Walker is a home-based business owner. Actually, she is a multiple home-based business owner, and she operates out of the Maryland area, and out of Gaithersburg, don't you, Anne?
Yes, I do.
Thank you for joining us. Say hello to Beverly.
Yeah, good morning, Beverly.
Good morning, Anne.
You guys have known each other a long time, haven't you?
Yes, we have. We first met during our association with Women Business Owners in Montgomery County.
Right. That was when I was just a couple of years into my desktop publishing business. So.
Right.
It has been a few years.
It has.
Folks, what I want to tell you about Anne is she has a very interesting story. As most of you know who've been listening for a while, you know that when Beverly joins us, we're talking about home-based business issues. And more recently, Beverly has been bringing on the show virtually every week a different home-based business person to tell us a little bit of a different story about their home-based business, the industry that they operate in, why they're in the industry they're in, how that industry is how they're being successful in that industry, how that industry works as a home-based business, and how being a home-based business in general works for them, et cetera, et cetera. And those are some of the things that we're going to be talking to Anne about today. Anne, would you take just a minute and tell us a little bit about your oldest small business?
Right. I have a custom drapery workroom, which in its most recent reincarnation is called Designer Fabrications.
Drapery company.
Correct. I make draperies for interior designers who in turn sell them to their clients, the homeowner, or sometimes we work in offices.
Mm-hmm.
I had been in partnership with somebody else, and we ran the business out of my home for about 3.5 or 4 years, started to run out of space and moved to some commercial space,
mm-hmm.
warehouse space. And we did that for about 5 years. But through some other changes, I decided I wanted to go back home, and whoever said you can't go back home was wrong. Because I was able to reestablish myself at home under a new name, and I love being at home.
So did you realize while you were gone that you would miss it?
I did not. I didn't realize I would miss it as much as I did. There are certain advantages, obviously, to being home-based,
mm-hmm.
and I missed some of those. But the major disadvantage to being home-based was the fact that I didn't know when to turn the business off.
Common problem.
Right.
And that was the first time you were at home.
Exactly. But I learned a lot when I had my business in outside of the home in a different location, and it has been easier this time.
All right. Beverly, don't let me forget that. I want to get back to that. But before we move into the general home-based business issues, I want to talk a little bit more about the actual business that you're in. What you do is people who are designers, who are interior decorators, will come up with an idea for someone's home, and then they'll come to you and ask you to help them fulfill that.
Absolutely.
So you make the custom drapes for them, just like they would go. You're part of the team, like they might go to an antique store and get a piece of furniture to finish designing this person's interior.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Generally, what a designer will do will let me know what the design is that they're thinking about, and I will quote them a price for that particular job.
Right.
And then if the job is sold, I'll go out and I will measure the job. And I'll come back, finalize the cost factor to the designer, and then the designer will order the fabric, and I get the fabric. We fabricate it here in our home-based workroom, and then it gets installed.
Do you have any employees?
I do. I have one full-time seamstress.
Mm-hmm. All right. Beverly, you got any thoughts?
I do. And one of the things, I know that you did the draperies, and if I remember correctly, you did a couple of other things when you were first home-based.
Right.
When you were first meeting.
Yeah, I did custom wedding gowns and evening wear.
Right. How did you get your clients, being home-based, not having a storefront to get known or walk by traffic, how did you get your clients for that business?
Mostly it was word of mouth. I made sure I was out there all the time. And any time I heard that somebody had the kind of business that could use my services, I would drop them a note or call them and let them know that I could provide some services and to try me out. And actually, one of my best clients is someone I met through the Women Business Owners, and we keep each other busy.
So networking has been a major part of the success of your business, hasn't it?
It has been. And anybody who is in a home-based business sometimes falls into the trap of being by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not out there networking, it can get very lonely.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just one more reason to get out there and do some networking.
Right. And what was your career before you started that first home-based business?
Oh, a couple of lifetimes ago. I was a x-ray technologist.
So you went from something totally different.
Absolutely.
What made you get into to the drapery business?
Well, I was thinking about making a career change. I had been sewing all my life. When I look back at pictures of myself at special occasions, I remember that I made the outfit I was wearing. And when I was going through these thoughts of what should I do with my life when I grow up, my brother, who was the one who was my partner for many years, asked me to make him a Roman shade. And I literally said, show me what it is, and I'll be happy to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that is how our business started.
Mm-hmm. Just from a small request like that.
Yep.
You know, that is so interesting, Beverly, to me, that how things like this get started. And, you know, there are people out there who are thinking, Ann, about starting a business, and they're waiting for this great epiphany to happen, this mountaintop experience, so that, you know, to tell them what to do, and it might be something as simple as just someone asking them to do something like your brother did.
Absolutely.
Very interesting. Ladies, stay tuned. We got to hang on with us. We got to take a quick break. Folks, it's 20 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. We'll be right back. We're back. It's 24 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and our special guest is Beverly Williams. She's the president and the founder of the American Association of Home-Based Businesses, as well as a friend of hers who is a home-based business owner, Ann Sandroff Walker. And Ann, I bet you know all about having to eat what you kill, don't you?
Absolutely.
you know about being, as a small business owner, if you don't make it happen, it don't happen on Friday when the payroll checks time rolls.
That's right. Well, sometimes my employee makes a little bit more money than I do, but
you know, that's the thing, ladies, that I know both of you know this, but that's the thing that a lot of people don't understand, don't appreciate, who aren't in small business. I wish I had a nickel for every time someone told me that they had 10 employees counting themselves,
mm-hmm.
and they said they you know, a lot of Fridays there'd only be 9 paychecks.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, that's part of being the business owner, is you make sure that everybody else is taken care of and hope there's something left over for you.
That's exactly right. And it's amazing. I mean, that's more the reality in a lot of small businesses than the people than the image that people have, the notion that they have that small business owners are all getting rich.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. It doesn't work that way.
And Beverly, I asked you to help me remember to ask Ann a question.
Right.
Do you remember what that was?
I do. And
go ahead.
I think it would probably be helpful for the listeners to know, you mentioned that you had learned some lessons from the first time you were home-based and had made some changes in this home-based business. Can you tell us a little bit about what those were and how you've made the changes?
Right. Mostly it's a mental attitude. The first time I had a home-based business, I was working all the time. It was very difficult for me to close the office door and get on with my regular life. And
now, let me interrupt just a moment. Did you have a separate workspace?
I do.
Okay.
I did.
You could literally close the door.
I could actually close the door,
okay.
But I kept hearing it calling to me. And I'd say, since it's a sewing business, it would say, just one more seam and it'll take 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, it's 2 hours later.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So being outside of the house with my business allowed me to leave the shop, come home, and it was far enough away that it kept me from going back to do that five-minute seam.
Right.
And I was much more relaxed.
Mm.
But the stresses were different, and I can handle the stresses now better being home-based than I could the stresses that I was getting into when the business was not home-based.
Mm-hmm.
And I just learned that life is more important, and there's a balance, and I have become, maybe it's a maturity factor,
mm-hmm.
I have found that balance, which doesn't mean to say that I don't work as hard and as long as I need to get the job done.
So you think it's a mental thing that allows you to close the office door at home and leave it closed?
Yes.
Okay. So you didn't post any business hours or put a lock on the door and throw, you know, give your husband the key or anything of that nature?
Well, that's correct. I didn't do that. But, of course, I do have an employee, and she has very strict hours. They're from 8 to 4.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't let her come in early, because I don't want to be thrown into working any earlier than I'm prepared to. And I usually take about a half an hour to myself before she comes into the shop.
Now, I know that this time is a little different, too, because your husband has retired and is now working in a home-based business with you. Is that correct?
That's correct. We had a business opportunity presented to us. It gave him the opportunity to take advantage of an early out
mm-hmm.
from a position that he'd been in for 37 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we have spent a year researching this business, and he's been to training. He is certified in 2 states. This business is a lead-based paint inspection service
mm-hmm.
called
okay.
Metro Lead. And being home-based allows me to run 2 businesses out of the same location.
Mm-hmm.
How long have you been doing the new business?
The new business officially started in January of this year.
Yeah.
Even though we've been working on it for about 14 or 15 months.
Okay. Now, how is it working? You guys are working 2 home-based businesses, both of you under the same roof and working all day long. How's that working out?
Well, each business is run out of a different part of the home.
Yeah.
So the lead-based paint inspection service is run out of an office where we have all our computer equipment and our supplies for that particular business.
Mm-hmm.
And the drapery workroom is run out of a different part of the house so that when I need to do Metro Lead stuff, I literally will go from one office to the other, although cordless phones make this very, very easy.
Stand by, Ann. We've got to take a break. Beverly, hang on. We're going to take a quick break. Folks, it's 29 after the hour. When we come back, I want to hear more about this lead-based paint business, because this might be something you folks, somebody out there might be interested in getting into, as well as I want to find out what's going on with these two working in these 2 new businesses together. 29 after, I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, heroes. It's 33 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and our special guest today, this hour, includes Beverly Williams, the president and the founder of the American Association of Home-Based Businesses, and Ann Sandoroff Walker, who is the owner of Designer Fabrics, LLC, and she also owns a company called Metro Lead, LLC, which is what we're talking about right now. Designer Fabrics, LLC, is a custom drapery company in Gaithersburg, Maryland. And Ann also owns Metro Lead, which is a lead paint abatement or remediation type company. And we're going to get her to talk to us about that specific industry in just a minute. Beverly, but Ann was talking to us when we took the break about how things are going with her husband now being home after having been retired, running these 2 small businesses, home-based businesses together. If I'm not mistaken, Beverly, this is the first home-based business person we've had on the show that's had 2 home-based businesses going at the same time.
I believe you're right. I do believe you're right.
But before we go any further, Beverly, I want you to give our audience your number and your website so they can contact you.
I'd be happy to. The 800 number is 800-447-9710. And our website, which has all the information on it that they could possibly want to know about us and home-based businesses, is www.aahbb.org. O-R-G.
And folks, I recommend you check that out. It costs $30 a year, which is peanuts, not even peanuts, to be a member of the AAHBB. I recommend you check it out. If you're a home-based business, there's a lot of great information that you can get there, a lot of great benefits that you can derive from being a member of the AAHBB, and I recommend you look into it. Ann Sandoroff Walker, tell us about the situation with you and your husband. He worked out of the home in a regular job for all those years. Now he's retired. You guys have started another business that he's involved in with you. How are you working that out?
Well, it hasn't been as difficult as I might have anticipated, although we have had to work out some certain things.
Like what? We want to know the nitty-gritty details.
Right.
The good, the bad, and the ugly.
He spends, while we're in the startup phase of MetroLED, he spends most of his time in the office doing marketing strategies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But there are times when I must be in the office and I need the computer. So that he knows there are certain times of the day, and there are probably two or three every day, when he can anticipate that I am going to come up into the office to do the little things I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been very patient, and I'll give him about 5 minutes warning, and he'll kind of close up whatever he's doing. So
now, Ann, this is no fun. We want to know some. We want to hear about some tension. We want to hear some controversy here. Come on, give us the dirt. Now, I don't believe that. Do you, Beverly?
Well,
I don't believe that everything's
actually,
just rosy here in the Sandra Off Walker family.
Actually, I've met her husband, and they're both very, very laid-back people, and that probably is exactly how it works.
This is disgusting.
Well, I'll try and find somebody more controversial next time.
I'm just teasing you, Ann.
Right.
How is he like being a home-based business owner?
I think he does. I think he likes it a lot. The other thing we try not to do, though, is once his office is closed, and that's at 5 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
Unless it's something very critical, we try to take care of business during business hours so that we talk about other stuff over supper.
Talk to us about the lead-based paint business. Tell us why there is such a need for a business like that.
Well, actually, there's a huge need because children can get lead poisoning. And the majority of the time, if they get lead poisoning, it's going to be from picking up lead-contaminated dust around the house.
Mm-hmm.
Lead-based paint was outlawed and no longer used starting in 1978. So if you have a house that was built before 1978, the chances are you might have lead-based paint in your house. If the house was built before 1960, you definitely have lead-based paint.
Mm-hmm.
And let me interrupt. If they had a house before 78 and had lead-based paint, but they've painted over it with non-lead-based paint now, is there still a danger?
No, the hazards are generally decreased by that kind of care, except in areas where that paint can break down because of friction, such as at windows.
Right.
Any painted surface that is exposed to friction could be generating some lead-contaminated
dust. Where it's chipped and cracked, a lot of times, as you know, When the paint gets older, it'll crack and pop off of the wood.
Right.
And children have picked that up, and basically they've actually eaten the lead, haven't they?
Yes, exactly. And in fact, on ER last week, that was part of the storyline.
Right.
Where there were two children who came into the emergency room with various symptoms that were traced back to lead poisoning from lead-based paint.
Now, right now, when you buy a house, there is a part of the closing that involves the lead-based paint issue, isn't there?
Yes, there is. The home buyer has the option of getting the house inspected for lead-based paint, as they have the option for radon inspections.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not required, and they have a very short amount of time within which to get this inspection done. And many times it just doesn't get done because they don't know the extent of the danger.
Right, yeah. Go ahead, Bethany.
Sorry, is it a costly test or very involved? What do people have to do?
No, the test is not very involved. We specifically do a very low-cost, non-destructive test involving dust wipes.
What do you do when you find lead that needs to be remediated?
It just can. We don't specifically do anything. We didn't want there to be any conflict of interest.
Oh, I see. So you're just doing the testing.
Exactly.
I got you. Well, stand by, and we got to take a break. Beverly will be right back. Folks, it's 39 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. It's 44 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com, and that's where you can go to find out more about Beverly Williams, because she is a member of my Brain Trust, and when you get to my website, if you click on the Brain Trust link, it'll take you to the list of the Brain Trust, and she is right there. Just click on her name, and you'll find a little bio on Beverly, as well as a link to her email and to her website from there, or you can just go to her website directly, which is aahbb.org, O-R-G. Right, Beth?
That's exactly right. Thank you.
Also, Ann Sandoroff Walker, who's a friend of Beverly's and who is a double home-based business owner. I don't know if that's double the pleasure or double the trouble, Ann, but it's one of those things like, you know, what is it people used to say about their kids? I wouldn't take a million for them, but I wouldn't give you a nickel for another one.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe your businesses are like that. But she owns Designer Fabrics LLC, which is a custom drapery company, as well as Metro Lead LLC, which is a lead-based testing business, lead-based paint testing business. And Ann, what I'd like for you to do now is tell us about what you did to get into the lead-based paint testing business. What did you have to go through?
Okay. The idea of the business itself came from the fact that we knew that the state of Maryland has very strong laws that govern the rental properties in the state, and mm-hmm. if they were built before a certain year, that being 1978, they need to get inspected for lead-based paint contamination. And we thought, every 2 years, maybe there's a business opportunity here. So we did some market research. We called the Park and Planning Commission to find out exactly how many housing units were in the county where we are, Montgomery County,
mm-hmm.
and how many of them were built before 1978, and approximately what percentage of those may be rentals. And
did you check to see if anyone
market.
Else was doing it?
I'm sorry?
Did you check to see if anyone else was doing what
yes,
you're doing?
Yes, we checked the Yellow Pages. There are quite a few other people, maybe a dozen and a half in the Montgomery County Yellow Pages.
And you weren't intimidated by that number?
No, actually, we called some of them. That was part of the market survey, and some of them were no longer in business.
Oh. Mm-hmm. What did that tell you? Did that worry you?
It didn't worry us at the time. We're having a little bit of trouble in the startup phase of getting some business, but we know that as long as we're out there and talking, the more we talk about it,
mm-hmm.
it will come.
But have you had a lot of expense in getting into this?
We've probably had, with some of the equipment and the training, both in the state of Maryland and Virginia, you must be trained, and then you must pass an examination so that you can get your license.
Mm-hmm.
So we've done all that. Then also the company, my husband, is licensed to do the exams. But the company itself must be registered with both states as a contractor,
mm-hmm.
and we've done that.
So, what would you say? Would you mind giving us approximate idea if the average person wanted to get into this? About what would it cost them to get the training and to buy the equipment and just basically get set up? What would you just give us a range of what you think it would cost?
Oh, $8,000 to $10,000.
Okay.
Just to
and there's no guarantee of business when you get that when you do that. I mean, then you've got to go out and find the customers.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Right.
There's no guarantee to any business, but
thank you.
Yeah.
The reason I was thinking of that is sometimes you know people can there are maybe a franchise out there they could spend $8,000 or $10,000 on, and that would give them a national name. But in your case, that wasn't what happened. Beverly, have you got any thoughts?
Well, I'm just applaud her for making that statement because a lot of times when you see a business opportunity, they tell you, and it makes it sound like they're guaranteeing, but you will not see that word there.
Right.
They'll tell you how much money you can make, but they don't tell you how hard you have to work to get that money
right.
and how long it may take to get it there. And the good side of that is that there is an opportunity to make the money. And when you've done as thorough a job as Ann and her husband have in investigating to make sure of what you're getting into, and they know, because they had previous business experience, how hard it's going to be that they have to really get out there and market something that may or may not have really taken hold in the area yet. So it's a lot of hard work.
Right, but we are determined that this will work. We know that it will work, but we just have to, the marketing has to be done from several different avenues, and it has to be an educational process for the general public.
Mm-hmm. Well, the advantage that you've got is that your husband has income from a previous job, and you've got your other business that can help to support this investment until it gets off the ground.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's something, and everyone doesn't have that. But I want to talk for a second about your drapery business. I want to move over into that. There are people out there right now, primarily ladies. I think they would have to agree with me, who are at home. They've got small children. They'd like to earn some money, but they don't want to leave their children, and they're thinking, you know, maybe there's something I could do to help support the family a little bit, to bring in some extra money, and to do some things to be productive. Would you recommend the custom drapery business, Ann?
Yeah, it's a good business to be in. The majority of the drapery workrooms in the country are small companies, mm-hmm. and many of them are home-based, as I am. But you do need to get out. So you need to, number one, make sure that your skill levels are good. Mm-hmm. You might want to start making draperies for your friends and neighbors just to see whether you like that kind of sewing. It's a little different from dressmaking.
Right. And stand by, Beverly. Hang on, we're going to be right back. Folks, it's 50 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Beverly Williams and Ann Sandoroff-Walker are our guests today. And when we come back, we're going to get Ann to tell us about the biggest challenge that she has faced as a home-based business owner. Stay with us. All right, we are back. It's 54 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for being with us today. And our special guest this hour is Ann Sandoroff-Walker. She is a double home-based business owner. And my co-host for this hour is Beverly Williams, the president and the founder of the American Association of Home-Based Businesses, the AAHBB. And if you take those letters and put a .org on the back, you'll go to her website, which I recommend you check out, especially if you're a home-based business owner or a dreamer, home-based business dreamer. And Beverly, I wanted Ann to talk about some challenges. Would you like to ask her some questions about that?
Well, absolutely. You know, I'm always interested in what the challenges are for people. And tell us how it has been, having had a home-based business before and now coming back to the home, and now your husband is home as well. What are some of those challenges of having him there and trying to run two businesses?
Right. I think space is a major challenge, trying to find your own space. And used to working by myself for as many years as I did, even before I had an employee, you have to know that some space is yours and that nobody is going to come in and take it over.
Mm-hmm. We haven't even talked about your employee. That's
right.
Another consideration in there.
Right. It is. It is a consideration, but everybody seems to understand that they have to work together to make a business work.
Does it take a special kind of a person to be an employee of a home-based business owner? Is that a unique capability?
I would think so. I would think that my...
What do they need to be? What do you need to look for if you hire an employee?
Somebody who you can trust.
Uh-huh.
Even more so than any other, because they're coming into your home.
Yes, not just your business, it's your home too.
Right, absolutely. Right, and so that would be one thing. And my employee actually happens to be a friend and a neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
So that works out extremely well.
And I would think you would need to be someone who could understand the philosophy. They'd have to be someone who could understand the philosophy of a home-based business, and maybe they would be looking for similar things that you're looking for as a home-based business owner.
Exactly.
Flexibility, et cetera.
Short commute.
Yeah, it's a very short commute, and I am flexible, and she knows that. She knows that if she needs time off, she can get it.
If she needs to go to one of her children's or grandchildren's play for an hour and a half or something like that, she gets to do that. And
exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. It's very easy. That aspect of it has been incredibly easy and really very pleasant. And my husband, being home and an extremely understanding person, someone who can read me very easily, can recognize when I need some space.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we don't invade each other's
That's
space.
That's a good characteristic for a husband to have, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wonderful. 5.5 stars to check.
Right.
I've got about 30 seconds. What about the financial part? How have you gotten taken care of the cash flow issue?
Make sure that my receivables come in a timely manner. I don't let them lapse. And you have to be a little bit more careful.
Yeah, yeah. Beverly, any last words?
No, I think that for anybody who is considering a home-based business, the Metro-led business sounds like a good one. But you need to know what you're doing and get the training that Chuck and Ann went through. Lots of challenges in any home-based business, as people have been hearing over the weeks, but the rewards certainly are there. And obviously, Ann, if you've come back home again after being out in commercial space, Home is where the heart and the office.
I wouldn't be anywhere else.
That's got to be the last word. Well said, Ann. Beverly, thank you again for bringing Ann to us.
You're welcome.
And we'll see you next week. Ann, good luck. Let us know if we can do anything to help you.
Thank you, Jim.
See ya. You did great today.
Thank you.
Got to wrap it up for this hour, folks. Before I go, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners just like Ann. Because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. Beverly Williams.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.